Happy Easter. Good to see everybody here. Some new faces. What's up, Tim? We're Facebook friends. See him on my feed like almost every day. Like. We have Indonesia right here. We have a lot of Indonesian students. Welcome. I want to welcome you guys to our church. If you're sitting on this side, you are, and you're not Indonesian, you're in the minority. I'm so blessed to have you guys join us today. Really want to encourage you guys. It's really good to see you guys today. Today is Easter Sunday. Today we remember, we commemorate, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When we look at our beliefs, when we dive into the true substance of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the center, it's the core, it's the paramount aspect of our beliefs. The resurrection is crucial. It is indispensable. We can't have Christianity as we know it without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's like making apple pie without apples. It does not work. You just have a lot of crust. Now, crust is good, but it's not a pie. And you can take all of the teachings and the commandments of Jesus Christ, but without the resurrection, it's good. His teachings are good, but it does nothing for our salvation. It doesn't bring eternal life. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that thing that makes everything about our faith valid. He has passed the test. When you're 15 years old in America, you start looking forward to something. Do you guys know what that something is? Yes. Driver's license. Because when you turn 16 in America, you're allowed to drive. And I remember when I was 15, I was so very covetous of my sister because she got to drive. When she started to drive, she's a year and a half older, but she skipped a grade. So she's like 2 years older in grade-wise. And when she got her license, a whole new world opened up for her. And I was very covetous. I was very jealous. And I remember she would go to school. We went to the same high school. And she would never drive me to school. She inherited my dad's old car. And I would always ride my bike with my friends. And then she would always go pick up her friends and go to school. And I was very jealous. It represented freedom. Connection to a new world that's outside of our neighborhood. The driver's license was key. It was pivotal. It was a rite of passage that all teenagers look forward to, especially when you live in L.A. because you can't do anything without a car in L.A. Who's from L.A.? Can I get an amen? Yeah, you can't do anything without a car in L.A. And I remember taking driver's ed in my high school. It's a class that we take. We would practice on these little simulators, and we would practice with teachers that had the steering wheel and the pedals on the right side and the left side so that if we started to crash, they could, like, you know, keep us from crashing. I remember being really stressed out that I would not pass the test because my mom failed, like, 3 times. My sister failed once. I remember, like, being so nervous. And then on my birthday, October 21st, 1991. Some of you guys over here were not born then. I understand. It's all right. I remember on that day, I remember taking the test. I was so nervous. And I remember the instructor saying, "You've passed." And I remember she gave me this piece of paper, and I went in line, and I got, like, I did the forms, and then they gave me this piece of paper that said that it was valid for me to have a life behind the wheel. And at that moment, everything changed. And a whole new world opened up for me. And it was all because that piece of paper that said that I had passed. And it's the same thing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's his resurrection that says that every one of God's promises are true. Amen. It's his resurrection that says that all of his promises are valid. Yeah. And let's really quickly look at some of those promises. Because he rose from the dead, our sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Death is defeated. We no longer suffer true death. Our bodies may die, but our soul and the substance of who we are goes on. And then, you know what? Our bodies get regenerated and glorified. We have hope, a hope of eternity with God. Eternity. That's a very long time with everything that is good and everything that is love. who have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, making us more like Him, and we have the fruits of the Spirit that comes with that. That and so much more we have because He died and He rose again. Because the tomb was empty. Today on this Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate true hope. Tell your neighbors, find hope in the resurrection. Because He lives. You know that song? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. The resurrection brings us hope. Not just hope for our eternity, but a hope for us now in our earthly lives because He is alive. It says in Romans 8:34, He intercedes for us. He is in heaven and He intercedes for us. He's praying for us. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. We have a life, we have a live, living, breathing, praying Savior who not only loves us, but is for us because of the resurrection. Grace, forgiveness, eternal life, all because Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive and it is finished. Amen. Now Easter, if it ended there, it would be very easy. For most of my life as a Christian, Easter ended there. Sad that Jesus died on the cross, but He was raised from the dead. Our sins are forgiven by His grace. We have hope in Him. I'm headed to heaven. He loves me. He is for me. Awesome. Now let's go eat some chicken. Yes, the fundamental truth of the death and resurrection of the cross is God's love for us. Grace that conquered sin and death for us. Jesus is the eternal sacrifice for our sin. We can't save ourselves. It's nothing that we do. It's what He does. I'm not arguing that. So please don't come up to me and saying that I don't believe in grace, because I do very much believe in grace. Grace is the key. But for us, it can't end at grace and forgiveness. Easter cannot end at us being forgiven. The Bible says that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. I believe that what He saw wasn't a bunch of people who believes that they're forgiven, but lives their lives the same way as the world. Grace and forgiveness is the foundation, but things need to be built on a foundation. But sometimes we take that foundation and we put up some lawn chairs and we pitch a tent and we build nothing. Jesus laid the foundation for us. We had nothing to do with that foundation. He made that foundation for us, but He's calling us to build on top of that foundation. And let me tell you, building isn't easy. Who's built something in their lives? Who's actually made something that is still standing today? Yeah, Noble? I have not. Everything that I've made, except for Ethan, God made Ethan. He laid the foundation. He's calling us to build, but you know what? Building is not easy. Luke 9, it says, this is right after Jesus tells His disciple about His death. In verse 22, it says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised from the dead. Right after this, He says, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. It's in the same as in Matthew, same as in Mark, same as in Luke. It comes in that order. Peter confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is like, who does people say that I am? He's like, well, they say that you're Elijah. But what do you say that I am? He's like, I say that you are Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Right after that, He says, you know what? I'm going to be taken. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised from the dead. And right after that, He says, if you want to follow Me, you got to pick up your cross. You have to deny yourselves, and you have to follow Me. It's like that in all three, the first three of the Gospels, in that order. Paul tells us something similar in Galatians 5:24. It says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. Hebrews 12:1, the author tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, other version says pioneer, is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. When we truly remember the cross, when we are truly commemorating and remembering the cross, there needs to be a true response in our lives. It should point us to our own cross that Jesus called us to carry. It's easy to say I'm forgiven, but it's something else entirely to live a life that is worthy of the cross. As Jesus is hanging on that cross, he's not picturing his people who's trying to do the bare minimum to get into heaven. But that cross that Jesus hung on, his sacrifice is worthy of our transformed lives. He's worthy our lives to carry our cross. Paul says to crucify the flesh, to die to sin, be alive in Christ, to daily stand on the fact that we are a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. To daily stand on that. To fight our flesh, our mind, our will, and our emotion that so many times is trying to lead us into death. You think that your flesh just wants to lead us into some fun? No. The Bible says the flesh is leading us to death. Romans 8, the mind governed by the flesh is death. To live according to the flesh, you will die. That's the Bible, guys. His cross is worthy of us contending for our lives to be sanctified. He's worthy of our fight. He's worthy of our enduring, contending. And this word has become taboo in Christian circles, but his cross is worthy of our striving to make great efforts to achieve or attain something. The cross is worthy of us striving for holiness to be more like him. The cross is worthy of that. That response needs to be from us. Luke 13:24, strive to enter through the narrow doors, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now, we're not talking about striving for his acceptance, because we are fully accepted. We're not striving to get into heaven, because it does not have anything to do with our salvation. We're not striving for his affection, but he loves us no matter what. We have all that already. We're striving to be more like him. And the cross is worthy of that striving. The cross isn't some fairy dust, poof, you're perfected. No! The cross is the foundation of our justification, which we have nothing to do with. And he fully did it, right? He justified us by his blood on the cross. The debt is paid, and from there we are called to walk out the steps of our sanctification. The cross is worthy of us contending and fighting for righteousness. I'm going to tell you a story. I went to jail many times when I was young. Not when I was young. I was actually pretty old. I went to jail one time. I did this stupid thing. I did the chase by the cops. I got arrested, and I got sentenced to 364 days in jail. Now my lawyers did that so that I do not go to INS, because if you get sentenced for more than a year, INS gets to take you. And he's like, he's a smart lawyer, public defender. He's like, you know what? I'm going to make it so that you get 364 days. But then the judge came, when I was getting sentenced, he's like, you know what, son? What you did, it's your first offense. I'm going to let you by. I'm going to let you, have this sentence. But you're going to stay in here at least, eight, nine months. You're going to spend almost all of this time. Because what you did was pretty bad. I stole a car. I went on this wild chase. I got chased by the cops. I crashed into a cab. I did a bunch of stupid stuff, right? And then he said, you're going to spend at least most of your time 364 days in jail. And I was like, all right, that's cool. And in my mind, I was like, yes, whatever. But I'm like, oh my goodness. Lord Jesus, help me. I remember I went to jail, county jail. And then 3 a.m. one time, they called my name and told me to go inside this tank. And I went inside the tank with other guys. And they're like, Like, we're like, where are you going? Where are we going? It's 3 a.m. Where are we going? It wasn't 3. It was like 11 o'clock at night. He's like, where are we going? Where are we going? He's like, I don't know. I think we're getting transferred to a different place. All right, cool. And then it's like 1 o'clock. They move us to this one area. And then all of a sudden, they give us our clothes back. I was wearing this like Adidas t-shirt when I got arrested, a red Adidas t-shirt. It gave me back my clothes. I was like, what? And then they put me in this line. And they're like, all right, we're going to release you because of overcrowding. L.A. jail is too crowded. We're gonna have to just let you go. And so I got released at 3 a.m. in downtown LA. And I was like, I was like dumbfounded. I was sitting out in the middle of the street 3 a.m. And but what the crazy thing is, when I got arrested with like $50 in my pocket. And then when you get let go, they give you that back to you. And so I got released with like 50, I think it was like $50 or $90. They gave that back to me. I'm in downtown LA, 3 a.m. I was a drug addict, and I had learned nothing. I had this amazing get out of jail after 2 month card, and I had learned nothing. I just sat out there, waited for my friends to come around, start doing drugs again, and I didn't even tell my parents I'd been released from jail for like a day and a half. I had learned nothing. And it's like that. Jesus has paid the ultimate price. And when we look at that price, it needs to lead us to deny us, at least to lead us to some kind of change in our lives. Some kind of transformation. It can't just be like me, getting out of jail free and like, ha ha! Thank you, God. And then we just go back doing the same thing that we did. It's not just about a thank you to God, but it's about a life devoted to God. Let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. Fighting your flesh is not easy. Paul says to crucify the flesh. That's not easy. It's not like putting a sticker, peel it off, stick it up, crucify it. No, you got to nail it to that cross. You got to kill your flesh. It needs to die. Philippians 2:12, it says to work. Oh, sorry. I don't know where that came from. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The cross should lead us to that, to die with Christ. Our old self needs to die with Christ. And I'm here to tell you, it's not an easy thing. It's not a button that we can switch in our head and say, I'm dead to sin. It's not like something that like sprinkle. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive in Christ. No. It is something that we have to work out. Jesus said, pick up your cross on Thursdays. No, daily. Every day. The key is humility. No one in this world can say, yeah, I'm mad good at sanctification, man. I've mastered that joint. I've got sanctification in the bag. No. That's hubris. It's like Icarus flying too close to the sun. It's pride. The key is humility. And I want to here to tell you that humility is not easy. Just like sanctification is not easy. In order to have sanctification, you need humility. Humility is not easy. The older I get, I realize, you think, oh, the older you get, the humbler you get. No, the older you get, the more prideful you get. And picking up the cross and killing your flesh. I'm here to tell you, it's not easy, but the cross is worthy of it. The cross is worthy of our fight. Jesus Christ dying on the cross is worthy for us to fight, to be like Him, to be transformed like Him. Now here's the good part. And this is what we cannot forget. Because it didn't end at the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But He was resurrected. He is alive. Yay! Come on! And yes, we are to die to sin, our flesh, but we are also to be alive in Christ in the Spirit. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us a hope that makes the fight so worth it. The The resurrection of Christ gives us a hope that makes the race, the enduring, the struggle, it makes it so worth it. Because He is alive, we have a hope that outshines the attraction of the flesh, of the worldliness. Because He is alive, we have a goal that can truly satisfy. Do you think that $1 million will satisfy you? No. I'm here to tell you that no matter how much money you get, it will not satisfy you. No matter what worldly goals that you place in your life, reaching those goals might make you feel good. It might make you feel good about yourself. It might actually give you pleasure, but it's not going to satisfy you. You guys have to understand, pleasure doesn't fully satisfy you. Some of you guys know that. We all know that. We all know we seek out pleasure and it feels good, but in the end, no matter what it is, it doesn't satisfy. None of it can truly satisfy. The only goal, the only prize that can truly satisfy is a prize that was offered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus told the criminal as he's being crucified that today you will be with me in paradise. That's real paradise. Now, I was in Cebu last week and it's great. It's great. Sunny, water's great, fish everywhere. Ooh, but that pales in comparison to what we have to look forward to in paradise with Christ Jesus. Through the resurrection, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, through His resurrection. There's where we find that drive. There's where we find that zeal to contend for His kingdom in our lives and in the world around us. Because He lives, we have access to relationship with Him that transforms our lives. We have access to true intimacy with a God of eternity that loves us. And He is for us, and we have connected with Him. And we have to choose that connection with Him. He says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. To abide in Him, it's not something that happens naturally. There is a struggle there, but it is a good struggle. When we carry our cross, He carries it with us. I used to think that in the image of me carrying my cross, Jesus was behind me with a whip. Every time I would drop it, He'd be like, whoosh, pick it up. But the truth is, we have a Savior that as we carry our cross, He carries it with us in front of us. He's like our cheerleader. He's like, come on, you can do this. You can do this, Carol. Come on. You can do this. You have it in you to do this. You can do it. And when you do drop it, He's there not to ridicule you, but to help pick it up with you. When you fall, He's there to pick you up. That is the Savior that we have. That is what we have access to as He was raised from the dead. When we stumble, He's there to help us, not put us down. As a matter of fact, He offers us His yoke. He says that His yoke is easy, it's light. It's Matthew 13:30. It's because He's carrying the other side. Jesus doesn't make what we have to carry any lighter. He doesn't tell us that we don't have to resist sin. He doesn't tell us that we don't have to resist the flesh. He's not like making it easy for us. He doesn't tell us that we don't have to die to sin. He doesn't make things so that it's easier. It's easy because He's with us. His power is with us. We are in Christ Jesus, and it feels easier. It feels like joy. It feels like pleasure because we are connected with Him. We claim that we are dead to sin, but we can't forget the part that says we are dead to sin in Christ Jesus. We have to continually go to Him so that His power and love can empower us to live in the way that His cross is worthy of. Because when we connect with Him, that cross that we need to pick up, because in order to be His disciples, what did He say? He said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to pick up this cross. He didn't say, pick up this pencil. He didn't say, all right, if you want to be my disciples, you just got to You just got to fill out this form. No, he said, if you want to be my disciple, pick up this cross. It's going to be a struggle, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm not going to leave your side. I'm on your side. I'm going to pick you up if you fall. I'm going to carry it for you when you stumble. Now, I want to close with this key point of this Easter sermon, and it comes from Luke 24, is what Ine read so passionately before our sermon started today. And it's about these two guys, these two disciples, after they've witnessed the death of Jesus Christ, they're on their way back, they're headed to this village called Emmaus, and they're all depressed. They're all sad. They're down. They're broken. And as they're walking, Jesus comes next to him. But it's not Jesus. It says his face was hidden from them. His face, he was kept from recognizing him. And as they walk, they have this interaction. And now, it's funny because these are the same disciples that probably followed Jesus throughout his ministry. John actually names one of them by name, Cleopas. He probably names him because it was somebody that a lot of the apostles actually knew. And there were people, these are people that most likely walked with him, ate with him, slept near him, heard Jesus' teachings and preachings, and were touched by him, saw him do miracles, signs, and wonders. They had walked with him and talked with him, and at one point put their hope in him. Because he says, but we had hope that he would one day redeem Israel. They most likely had heard Jesus say many times that he would be delivered unto death, that he would be raised on the third day. Not only that, but these were the same disciples that heard about an empty tomb. They talk about it. About the woman seeing the angels telling them that he was alive. These were the same disciples that had heard that the tomb was empty. Despite all this, what condition are they in? They are depressed. They look hopeless. They look defeated. And why do you think that is? The disciples that knew Jesus, had seen him and heard him, why are they also sad? Because at this point, they only knew of Jesus in life and death, but not in his resurrection. They had yet to know the revelation of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And I love this passage because I believe that Luke was led to put this in his gospel, especially for us. I mean, it's all for us. But Jesus knew that we would not have his physical body to see in order to believe. He knew that we would have to live by faith and not by sight. And so they are kept from recognizing him. It says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus could have been like, yo, stop crying, man. It's me, Jesus. Hey, it's me, come on. Take off his hoodie or whatever. Ta-da! Jesus. But they were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus chooses to open up the scriptures. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's like, man, why are you guys so sad? And he opens the scriptures and he says, you know what? You see this part in Isaiah? You see this part, you know, about King David, you see this about Moses. It all points to Jesus Christ. It all points to this final day, this ultimate moment where he redeems humanity. And their hearts started to burn. It says, did not our hearts burn while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they are able to have a revelation of the resurrected Savior. He didn't have to tell them, it's me. They recognized him. Their eyes were open through the scriptures. And then poof, he disappeared. It's like a magician. And we have access to that revelation. Do you guys know that? We have access to that revelation. It's in the Word of God. If you want to see if you want the reality of the risen Savior, if you want to have a true, like active and living reality of the risen Savior in your spirit, it's going to be through the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. As you search the Scriptures, as you go deep, as you dig past those things, you know, like the first time when I'm reading the Bible, and I pick it up and I read, and it just. Bounces off our heads. But we got to get past that. We got to get past that area, super spiritual level of reading the Word. We got to start to dig in. We got to start to like study and meditate on the Word of God. And when we get to a place where like these disciples, where the Scriptures were open to them, and as they start to feel like the Scriptures like be established in their heart started to burn, and they had a revelation of a risen Savior. Jesus didn't have to say, ta-da, I'm here. He didn't have to like reveal himself. They recognized him. And it wasn't because he showed himself, because they found it in the Scriptures. And we need to have it every day. My point is that we need to have that revelation of Jesus Christ every day. Is my forehead red? We have to have it every day. The revelation of a risen Savior needs to hit us every day. No matter how mature we get in Christ, we don't get over the fact that He is alive and that He is right now seated at the heaven, at the right hand of God. And He is for us. He's praying for us right now. Cole, Jesus is praying for you. That should radically change the way that you read the Bible. Jesus is praying for you. Molly, that should radically change the way you pray. And in that, we're going to find, through that revelation, it's going to help us to pick up our cross. It's going to help us to live a life of us carrying our cross. And the Word of God, through prayer, through meditation, through relationship, through nature, Holy Spirit is revealing the resurrected Christ. Pointing to the resurrected Christ. John 15:26. But when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. He will testify about me. That's what it's saying. Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to just continue to point at me. And we can never lose sight of that. If we are to carry our cross daily, to die to sin, to resist the flesh, we can never lose sight of that resurrected Lord and Savior. Even Peter, this is Peter who Jesus said, who do they think I am? They think that you're Elijah. Who do you think I am? You are Jesus Christ. You are Lord. You are the Son of God. This is the same Peter that walked on water with Him. This is the same Peter that saw the miracles, signs and wonders happening before his eyes. This is the same Peter that said, no, I will never deny you. He slept. He was the closest of Jesus' disciples. He was right there with Him along the way. And even he needed a reminder of a resurrected Jesus Christ. He needed to be reminded. Because when Jesus died, he started, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to my old life, man. Who wants to go come fishing with me? Let's get some fish. And he's the one that, when the women that came and said, the tomb is empty, he's the one that he had to run there to really see. He needed a reminder of the resurrected Jesus Christ. If he needed it, how much more do we need it? He is alive. He is with us. He is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He intercedes for us as we carry our cross. He's in front of us. He's rooting for us, encouraging us, loving us, helping us, picking us up when we fall. He loves us. He is our resurrected Savior. He's active in our lives. And is that truth, reality in you? Because even for me as a pastor, sometimes I forget that really quickly. He is alive. He is real. And He is closer than you think. Now lastly, on the Emmaus Road, it's funny because Jesus pretends to go further. He acts. He literally says he acted. He's like, oh, all right, guys, enjoy your dinner. I'm going to I'm going to go to some other city name that I don't know. He pretended to move forward. He pretended to go on. He acted as if he was going to continue on. And then he waited for the disciples to invite him in. He's like, come on, dine with us. Sit with us. Why? Why did Jesus pretend? Because God is a gentleman. He will not force himself upon your will. If you want the transforming power of the resurrected Jesus Christ in your life, it's going to be through relationship. And you need to invite him in. You need to choose him. He's already chosen you. That part is already done through the cross. He chose you. But then you need to choose him. You need to invite him in. There needs to be that to this. It can't just be, thanks for forgiving me, Jesus. All right, let's go to the club. But there needs to be an invitation from us to invite his presence into our lives. If you want him to transform you, if you want to live, be like him. You know, we have role models in our lives. We have people we look up to. Some of you guys have amazing fathers and you guys want to be like your father. That's awesome. But the ultimate person that we want to be like has to be Jesus Christ. Yeah, and it's going to happen through our invitation to him. Because he's already knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. Dan Humphreys. He's knocking at the door and you just have to invite him in. But it's going to take you doing it. You have to, like it has to be a decision, a choice that you make. And it's a choice that we make every day. Jesus said daily. That means we have to be vigilant. We have to be alert. We have to be alert to what he has for us. We have to be alert to stay connected with him. We have to be alert to hear from him. Hear what he's saying. How is he speaking to me? No matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, he is there with an invitation to go deeper. Some of you guys are mature Christians. You guys have been Christians for a long time. Don't ever get into a place where you feel like, oh, you know, I'm at a good place in my life. Jesus loves me. I'm going to go on cruise control. That cruise control is going to just bring you right down. There's always an invitation from God to take you deeper. Because as you go deeper, God's going to show you different levels of carrying the cross. Carrying the cross is such a figurative thing that we don't even really understand what it is. Carrying the cross can mean so many different things. And as you go deeper with him, he's going to show you what carrying the cross means. When you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70 years old, you're still going to be reminded by God and say, you want to, I'm going to have you carry this. Are you willing? Are you still for me? Are you still with me? Because it takes relationship. And he is worthy of that. The cross is worthy of that. What he did is worthy of our life completely and utterly dedicated to him. Let's close our eyes. I just want to make an invitation for you guys out there. That you guys feel that Jesus Christ, in the fullness of who he is, he seems distant to you. God seems distant to you. You feel far from him. And you may have placed certain things in between you and God that's making you feel far from Him. But whatever it is, you feel distant from God. That revelation of a resurrected Jesus Christ feels kind of far, kind of distant. And for those of you guys here, I want you guys, with your eyes closed, just raise your hands. That's all you have. You just have to respond with a raising of a hand. Everybody's eyes are closed, and I want to pray for you. You want to go deeper. Some of you guys in here, you guys want to go deeper with God, but there's something that's hindering that. It's getting in the way of that. Something is getting in the way of you inviting God into the deeper places of your heart, to the deeper places of your life. I want to pray for you today. You just have to raise your hand. God is already at the door, and He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you to the depths. And you just have to invite Him into that place. Say, Jesus, I invite you in. I let you in. So I pray, Lord, right now for every single person with their hands raised. I pray right now that you will take him deeper into your presence. I pray that you will show them, that you will reveal to them how close you are. How incredibly close you are. You're not even in front of our face. You're within our hearts. And you're beating within our spirit. Remind them how close you are. Remind them how much you love them. Remind them how much you are for them. Remind them that you are with them through every struggle, through every sin, through every stumbling, through every whatever struggle that they may have. Remind them that you are with them, that you are for them, that you are there to carry their burdens. That as they pick up their cross and as they desire to go deeper with you, God, I pray, Lord, that you will show them that you are with them. That you will never leave them. That nothing will separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I pray today on this Easter service, God, as we leave this church and as we go back home, Lord, I pray that we will leave this place with a full revelation, a real living revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is alive right now, who is alive, who has a beating heart, who is in heaven interceding for us. And that truth of His resurrection, may it transform our lives. May it change our week. May it change our year. May it change our destiny. May we look through the eyes of the resurrection as we look at our lives. May it change the way we see our work. May it change the way we see our jobs. May it change the way we see our family, the way we see how we play and how we interact with people around us. May it transform the way we live. Because you have risen from the dead, because you are alive, and the truth of your resurrection may transform us from inside out. We thank you. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. And we say that you have risen. You have conquered death. And Lord, the cross and your resurrection and who you are worthy of our everything. Lord, we give you our everything. We give you our hearts. We give you our soul. We give you our spirit. May our bodies be a worship unto you. We glorify you today. We thank you. We celebrate. We celebrate your resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up.